When, for only an instant here or a moment there, Jensen actually comprehended the staggering reality that she was about to die, her mind blanked out with overwhelming terror. It was her life, her only precious life, that was inexorably dwindling away, that would soon end with the cold embrace of death itself. Flickering lightning skipped across a darkening sky, traveling under the clouds. More distant, more intense flashes came again, lacing through the heavy clouds, lighting them from within with spectacular green light. Distant thunder boomed, rumbling out across the vast deserted valley. The hesitant rolling sound of the thunder seemed to match the way the landscape wavered in the heat. As they descended, the towering rock columns became larger, at first growing up from splits along the ridges, until down at the bottom they seemed rooted in the floor of the valley itself. Now, as the three of them moved at last ever farther away from the cliffs and out into the valley, those columns rose up like an ancient stone forest. Jensen felt like an ant moving among a wonder of towering stone. As their footsteps echoed among the rock walls, chambers, and tiers, she couldn't help marveling at the smooth, rippled sides of the pillars, as if the rock had been worn smooth like stones in a river. Different layers within the vertical rock appeared to be of varying density, making them wear at different rates, leaving the stone towers rippled up along their entire length. In places, huge sections of the columns perched atop narrow necks. All the while, the heat felt like a great weight pressing down on her as her feet dragged through the jagged gravel at the bottom. The light among the columns cast eerie shadows, leaving dark places lurking farther back, in among the towers. In other places, light seemed to come from behind the stone. As she looked up, it was like looking up from the depths of the world, seeing the rock itself, lit green at times by the flickering lightning within the clouds, reach up as if beseeching salvation. Sister Perdita glided among the maze of rock, her black robes billowing out behind like a spirit of the dead. Even Sebastian's presence behind was not a comfort for Jensen among such silent sentinels to the power of creation itself. Lightning arced across above their heads, above the tops of towering rock, as if searching the forest of stone. Thunder shook the valley with violent shudders that brought crumbling rock down on them, so that they had to run or dodge to the side to avoid being stoned. Jensen saw, here and there, where some of the enormous pillars had previously come crashing down. They lay toppled now, like fallen giants. In places they had to pass beneath the monumental stone laying across the path, walking through passages left where the colossal pieces spanned weathered gaps. She hoped the lightning that was streaking all across the sky didn't decide to hit a stone pillar right above them and send unimaginable weight crashing down on them. Just when Jensen thought that they would be forever lost in among the tight spaces among soaring rock, she saw an opening between the towers that revealed the expanse of the rest of the valley floor. Winding their way along the bottom, among the crowded stone columns, they began to wend their way out into more open ground, where the pillars stood as individual monuments rather than being tightly crammed together. Down at the bottom, the valley that had looked so flat from above was a jumble of rolling, low rock and scree, cut through with jagged rock formations and lifted slabs of smooth stone that ran for miles. Out from the fingers of tapering ridges coming in from the sides stood lofty pillars, both separated and in small clusters. The thunder was becoming unnerving as it boomed and shuddered and rumbled through the forest of stone almost continually. The sky had lowered until the boiling clouds brushed along the surrounding walls of rock. Off at the far end of the valley, the darkest clouds threw out almost constant flickers and flashes, some startlingly bright, spawning jarring thunderclaps. Coming past a broad stone spire, Jensen was startled to see a wagon in the distance making its way across the valley floor. Jensen turned to tell Sebastian about the wagon, and there, behind them, towered the stranger. Her gaze took in his black shirt, his black, open-sided tunic decorated with ancient symbols snaking along a wide gold band running all the way around its squared edges, and cinched at his waist with a wide, multi-layered leather belt with leather pouches attached along each side. The small gold-worked leather compartments on the belt bore silver emblems of linked rings, matching those on wide leather-padded silver bands at each wrist. His trousers and boots were black. In contrast, his broad shoulders bore a cape that appeared to be made of spun gold. He had no weapon but a belt knife, but he needed none to be the embodiment of threat itself. Looking into his gray eyes, Jensen knew instantly and unequivocally that she was staring into the raptor gaze of Richard Rawl. It felt as if a fist of fear seized her heart and squeezed. Jensen pulled her knife free. She clutched it so tightly that her knuckles were white around the silver hilt. She could feel the ornately engraved letter R for the House of Rawl biting into her palm and fingers as the Lord Rawl himself stood right there before her. Sebastian spun around and saw him, then moved around behind her. Her emotions in a jumble, Jensen stood paralyzed before her brother.
"Jen," Sebastian whispered from behind, "don't worry, you can do this. Your mother is watching, don't let her down."
Richard Rawl scrutinized her, not seeming to notice Sebastian or even Sister Perdita farther back. Jensen stared at her brother, equally oblivious to the other two.
"Where is Kaelin?" Richard said.
His voice was not what she expected. It was commanding, to be sure, but it was so much more, so full of emotion, everything from cold fury to unwavering resolve to desperation. His gray eyes, too, reflected the same sincere and terrible determination. Jensen could not take her eyes from him. "Who is Kaelin?"
"The mother confessor, my wife."
Jensen could not move, so conflicted was she in what she was seeing, in what she was hearing. This was not a man looking for a monster cohort, a brutal confessor who ruled the Midlands with an iron will and an evil hand. This was a man motivated by love for this woman. Jensen could clearly see that little else mattered to him. If they did not get out of his way, he would go through them like he went through those thousand men. It was as simple as that. Except, unlike those thousand men, Jensen was invincible.
"Where is Kaelin?" Richard repeated, his patience at an end.
"You killed my mother," Jensen said almost defensively. His brow twitched, truly puzzled. "I only just learned that I have a sister. Friedrich Gilder just told me. And that your name is Jensen." Jensen realized she was nodding, unable to take her eyes off his, seeing her own eyes in his.
"Kill him, Jen," Sebastian whispered urgently in her ear. "Kill him, you can do it. His magic can't hurt you. Do it!"
Something was wrong. Jensen felt a kind of tingling dread working its way up her legs. Gripping the knife, she gathered her courage of purpose as the voice filled her head, until there was no room for anything else. "The Lord Rawl has been trying to murder me my whole life. When you killed your father, you took his place. You sent men after me. You've hounded me just like your father. You sent the quads after us. You bastard, you sent those men who murdered my mother." Richard listened without argument and then spoke in a calm, deliberate voice. "Don't lay a cloak of guilt around my shoulders because others are evil." Jensen was jolted, realizing that was very close to the words her mother had used the night before she died. "Don't you ever wear a cloak of guilt because they are evil." The muscles in his jaw flexed as he gritted his teeth. "What have you done with Kaelin?"
"She's my queen now,"
came a voice echoing through the columns. Jensen vaguely recognized the voice. As she looked around, she didn't see Sister Perdita anywhere. Richard passed her, already moving toward the voice, like a shadow moving by, and then he was suddenly gone.
She had missed her chance to stab him. She couldn't believe that he had been standing right in front of her, and she had missed her chance.
Jen, Sebastian called, pulling at her arm. What's the matter with you? Come on, you can still get him.
She didn't know what was wrong. Something was. She pressed her hands to her head, trying to stop the drone of the voice. She no longer could. She had made a bargain, and the voice was mercilessly demanding she hold to it, crushing her mind with pain unlike any she had ever suffered. When Jensen heard laughter echoing through the forest of stone pillars, she finally moved, swiftly, the heat and her exhaustion forgotten. Together with Sebastian, they ran toward the sound, weaving their way among the disorder of towering rock. She no longer knew where she was, which way was which. She raced through stone passageways that opened up to others, along their twisting course, under archways of rock, among columns, and through shadows and light. It was like moving through a strange and confusing combination of corridors and woods, except that these walls were stone, not plaster, and the trees were rock. As they came around an immense pillar, there, among others standing like sentinels, was an open area of undulating, smooth rock in a jumble of curves, with smaller stone columns as thick around as ancient pines. A woman was tied to one of the columns. There was no doubt in Jensen's mind that this was Richard's wife, Kaylin, the mother confessor. Off in another direction came the echoing laughter, teasing, leading Richard away from what he sought. The mother confessor didn't look like the monster Jensen had pictured. She looked in bad shape, limp in the ropes around the pillar. She was not bound securely, but simply with rope around her middle, like a child might tie a playmate to a tree. Apparently unconscious, her head hung forward, some of her long mass of hair pendant around her head, her arms hanging free as well. She wore simple traveling clothes, though they nor the partial veil of hair hid what a beautiful woman she was. She looked only a few years older than Jensen. She didn't look like she would live to be any older. Sister Perdita appeared suddenly beside the woman, lifting her head by her hair, taking a look, then letting her head drop again. Sebastian ran up, pointing. "That's her. Come on." As Jensen followed, she didn't need the voice in her head to tell her that this was the bait that had been provided in order to draw Richard Rawl in for the killing. The voice had done its part. Girding her resolve, gripping her knife tightly, Jensen ran over beside the sister. She turned her back to the unconscious woman, not wanting to think about her, or to have to look at her. Putting her mind to the task at hand, this was her chance to finish it. The laughing man suddenly popped out from behind a pillar not far away, no doubt to help draw in the prey. Jensen recognized his awful grin. It was the man she had seen the night the sorceress Lethea had been murdered. It was the man that had so frightened Betty, her goat, the man Jensen thought she recognized from her nightmares.
"I see you have found my queen," the nightmare man said.
"What?" Sebastian asked.
"My queen," the man said, still with that terrible grin. "I am King Oba Rawl. She shall be my queen."
Jen recognized then that there was a small resemblance in the eyes to Nathan Rawl, to Richard, to her. He didn't have the strong likeness that Jensen saw of herself in Richard's eyes, but she saw enough to know that he was telling the truth. He, too, was the son of Darkin Rawl.
"Here he comes," he said,
turning, holding out an introductory arm.
"My brother, the old Lord Rawl."
Richard strode out of the shadows.
"Don't be afraid, Jen," Sebastian whispered in her ear. "He can't hurt you. You can get him now."
Now was her chance. She would not waste it again. Off to the side, through the thicket of columns, she caught glimpses of a wagon rolling up. She thought she recognized the horses, both gray with black manes and tails. They were horses as big as any she'd ever seen. From the corner of her eye, she saw that the driver was big and blond-headed. Jensen turned, staring in disbelief at the wagon, when she heard Betty's familiar bleat. The goat stood and put its front hooves up on the seat beside the driver.
The big blonde man gave her ears a quick, affectionate rub. It looked like Tom.
Jensen, Richard said, step away from Kalen.
Don't do it, sis,
Obi yelled. He roared with laughter. Knife in hand, Jensen backed closer to the unconscious woman, hanging from the pillar rising up behind. Richard would try to come through her to get at Kalen, then Jensen would have him.
Jensen, Richard said, why would you side with the Sister of the Dark?
She shot a brief puzzled frown at Sister Perdita.
Sister of the Light, she corrected.
Richard slowly shook his head as his gaze went beyond to Sister Perdita.
No, she is a Sister of the Dark. Jigang has Sisters of the Light, but he also has the others as well. They are both slaves to the Dreamwalker. That's why they have that ring through their lower lip.
Jensen had heard that name before, Dreamwalker. She frantically tried to remember where. She recalled, too, what the sisters had invoked that night in the woods. Everything was tumbling through her mind in a frantic rush. It wasn't helping that the voice was there, incessantly urging her on. She was screaming inside with the need to kill this man, but something was keeping her from moving. She knew it couldn't be his magic.
You will have to come through Jensen if you want to save Kalen, Sister Perdita said in her cool, disdainful voice. You have run out of time and options, Lord Rawl. You had better at least save your wife before her time is up as well.
Off in the distance to the side, Jensen caught sight of the brown goat bounding through the forest of stone, outpacing Tom by a wide margin.
Betty?
Jensen whispered through choking tears as she unwrapped the black veil from her head so the goat would recognize her. The goat bleated at the sound of her name, her little upright tail wagging in a blur as she ran. Something else, smaller, was coming from behind, back by Tom. Before the goat could reach her, it reached Oba. Spotting him as it came around the pillar, Betty let out a plaintive cry and sidestepped away. Jensen knew well Betty's cry of distress and terror, her plea for help and comfort. Overhead, the sky went wild with lightning and thunder, further frightening the poor animal.
Betty?
Jensen called, hardly able to believe what she was seeing, wondering if it could be an illusion, some cruel deception. But Lord Rawl's magic couldn't do that to her. At the sound of her voice, the goat bounded toward Jensen, her beloved, lifelong friend. Not a dozen strides away, Betty looked up at Jensen and froze in her tracks. The wagging tail stopped dead. Betty bleated in distress. The bleats turned to terror at what she was seeing.
Betty?
Jensen cried.
It's all right. Come, it's me.
Trembling in fear as it gazed up at her, Betty backed away. The goat was reacting the same way it did for Oba just now, and the same as it had done that first night she saw him. Betty turned and ran. Right for Richard. He crouched down as the goat, clearly in distress, came running, seeking comfort, and found it under a sheltering hand. Stunned, Jensen then heard other little bleats. Small little twin white goats came capering into the midst of all the people, into the middle of a deadly confrontation. They spooked at the sight of the man, turned, and at the sight of Jensen, shrank back, crying out for their mother. Betty bleated, calling to them. They spun and raced for her protection. With their mother there, they felt safe and jumped up on Richard, eager for the reassuring touch their mother was getting. Tom had stopped well back, waiting near a pillar as he watched, obviously intending to stay clear. Jensen thought that surely the world must have gone mad. Chapter 60
Betty, what are you doing?
Jensen asked, unable to reconcile in her mind what was happening.
Magic,
Sister Perdita whispered from behind in answer to Jensen's puzzled tone.
It's his doing.
Could it be that Richard Rawl had bewitched even her goat, turned it against her? Richard took a step toward her. Betty and her twins romped around his legs, having no conception of the life and death events taking place before them.
Jensen, use your head, Richard said. Think for yourself. You have to help me now. Step away from Kalen.
Kill him, Sebastian whispered with vicious determination. Do it, Jen. Magic can't hurt you. Do it.
Jensen lifted her knife as Richard calmly watched her. She felt herself stepping toward him. When she killed him, then his magic would die too, and Betty would know her once again. Jensen froze.
Something was wrong.
She turned to Sebastian. How do you know? How do you know that? I never told you that magic can't harm me.
You too?
Oba called. He'd come closer. We're both invincible, then. We can rule Dahara together. But I'll be the king, of course, King Oba Rall. I'm not greedy, though. You could be a princess, maybe. Yes, I could let you be a princess if you're good.
Jensen's eyes turned back toward Sebastian's surprised face.
How do you know?
Jen, I thought...
He stammered, trying to find an answer.
Richard...
It was Kalen, waking but groggy.
Richard, where are we?
She winced in pain and cried out, even though no one touched her. When Richard took a step toward her, Jensen stepped back before her, brandishing her knife.
If you want her, you must come through Jensen, Sister Perdita said.
Richard watched her without emotion for a long moment.
No. You must, the sister growled. You will have to kill Jensen or Kalen will die.
Are you crazy? Sebastian yelled at the sister.
Get a hold of yourself, Sebastian, the sister snapped. Salvation comes only through sacrifice. All of mankind is corrupt. One individual is unimportant. One life is meaningless. It matters not what happens to her. Only her sacrifice matters.
Sebastian stared at her, unable to answer, unable to find a reason to argue for Jensen's life.
You'll have to kill Jensen,
Sister Perdita shrieked as she turned back to Richard,
or I will kill Kalen.
Richard,
Kalen moaned, clearly not understanding where she was or what was happening.
Kalen, Richard said in a calm voice, stay still.
Last chance, Sister Perdita screamed. Last chance to save the Mother Confessor's precious life. Last chance before the Keeper has her. Stop him, Jensen, while I kill his wife.
Jensen was staggered that the sister would be encouraging him to kill her. It made no sense. It was Lord Rall that the sister wanted dead. It was Lord Rall they all wanted dead. Jensen knew she had to end it. She couldn't be hurt by his magic. How Sebastian knew that, she couldn't fathom, but she had to end it now while she had the chance. Why the sister would be encouraging him to kill her was also a mystery. Unless Sister Perdita was trying to anger Richard so that he would lash out with his magic, strike with his power at Jensen, thus giving her the opening she finally needed. That had to be it. Jensen dared not wait. Unleashing a cry of fury filled with a lifetime of hate, filled with the burning agony of her mother's murder, filled with the howling rage of the voice in her head, Jensen launched herself at Richard. She knew he would hurl his magic at her in order to save himself, unleash magic at her as he had unleashed it at the thousand men. He would be shocked that it didn't work. Shocked as she burst through his deadly conjuring at the last instant to suddenly plunge her knife through his evil heart. He would know too late that she was invincible. Screaming her rage, Jensen flew at him. She expected a horrific blast, expected to fly through the lightning, thunder, smoke, but it never came. He caught her wrist in his fist. Simple as that. He used no magic. He cast no spell. He invoked no wizardly power. Jensen had no immunity to muscle, and he had plenty of that.
Calm down, Richard said.
She fought him furiously, an angry storm throwing all her hate and pain into her onslaught. He securely held her knife-wielding fist as she raged, her other fist pounding against his chest. He could have snapped her in two with his bare hands, but he instead let her scream and strike out at him, then let her yank herself back away to stand in the center of everyone, panting, knife held up, tears of anger and hate streaming down her cheeks.
"Kill her or Kaelin dies," Sister Perdita shrieked again.
Sebastian shoved the sister back. "Have you lost your mind? She can do it! He isn't even armed!" Richard pulled a small book from one of the pouches at his belt and held it up.
"Oh, but I am."
"What do you mean?" Jensen asked. His raptor gaze settled on her. "This is an ancient text titled The Pillars of Creation. It was written by some of our ancestors, Jensen, those among the first to be Lord Rawl, among the first who came to understand the full extent of what had been engendered by the first of the line, Ulrich Rawl, who created the bond, among other things. It's very interesting reading."
"I suppose it says that as Lord Rawl you should kill those like me?" Jensen said.
Richard smiled. "You're right, it does."
"What?"
She could hardly believe that he would admit it.
"It really says that?"
He nodded. "It explains why all the truly ungifted offspring of the Lord Rawl, the Lord Rawl who carries down the gift of the bond to his people, must be killed."
"I knew it," Jensen cried. "You tried to lie, but it's true. It's all right there.
I didn't say that I would take the advice. I only said that the book says that your kind are to be killed."
"Why?"
Jensen asked.
"Jen, it doesn't matter," Sebastian whispered. "Don't listen to him."
Richard gestured to Sebastian. "He knows why. That's why he knew you couldn't be harmed by my magic. He knew because he knows what's in the book." Jensen spun to Sebastian, her eyes wide with sudden understanding.
"Emperor Jagang has that book."
"Jen, you're just talking nonsense now."
"I saw it, Sebastian. The Pillars of Creation, I saw it in his tent. It's an ancient book, in his old tongue. It's one of his prized books. He knew what it says. You were one of his prize strategists. He told you. You knew all along what it said."
"Jen, I..."
"It was you,"
she whispered.
"How can you doubt me? I love you."
Then, over the terrible tumult of the voice, the whole thing began unraveling in her mind. The crushing pain of it all came crashing in on her. The true dimensions of the betrayal became horrifyingly clear.
"Dear spirits, it was you all along."
Sebastian, his face going nearly as white as his white spikes of hair, turned deadly calm.
"Jen, that doesn't change anything."
"It was you,"
she whispered, wide-eyed.
"You took a single mountain fever rose."
"What? I don't even have any such thing.
I saw them in a tin in your pack. There was twine on top of them, hiding them. They spilled out."
"Oh, those, I got them from the healer, the one we visited."
"Liar."
"You had them all along. You took one to give yourself a fever."
"Jen, now you're just acting crazy."
Trembling, Jensen pointed at him with her knife.
"It was you all along. That first night you told me, where I come from, we believe in using what is closest to an enemy or what comes from him as a weapon against him. You wanted me to have this knife. You wanted me because I was closest to your enemy. You wanted to use me. How did you get it on that soldier?"
"Jen, you claim to love me. Prove it. Don't lie to me. Tell me the truth." Sebastian stared a moment before finally holding his head up and answering.
"I only wanted to gain your trust. I thought that if I had a fever, you would take me in."
"And the dead soldier I found?"
"He was one of my men. We captured the man who carried that knife. I gave it to one of my men, had him dress in a Daharan uniform, then,
After we saw you pass below, I pushed him over the cliff.
You killed your own man?
Sacrifice for the greater cause is sometimes necessary. Salvation comes through sacrifice, he added in defiant defense.
How did you know where I was?
Emperor Jagang is a dreamwalker. He learned about your kind through the book years ago. He used his ability to search for any who might know of your existence. Over time, he put together evidence in order to track you down.
And the note I found?
I planted it on him. Jagang found out through his ability that you once used that name. The bond prevents the dreamwalker from entering a person's mind, Richard said. He must have searched for a long time looking for those who aren't bonded to the Lord Rawl.
Sebastian nodded with satisfaction.
That's right. And we succeeded, too. Jensen, burning with blinding anger, with the agony of such monumental betrayal, swallowed.
And the rest? My mother?
Was that one of your necessary sacrifices, too? Sebastian licked his lips. Jen, you don't understand. I didn't really know you then.
They were your own men.
That's why it was so easy for you to kill them. They weren't expecting you to attack them. They thought you were there to fight alongside them. And that's why you were confused when I told you about the quads, about how many more men I thought there were.
They weren't really quads. You had to kill some innocent people along the way in order to make me think it was the other member of the quad.
All those times you went out at night to scout and came back saying they were right behind us, and we kept running through the night, you made it all up.
To a good cause, Sebastian said quietly.
Jensen gasped in her tears, her fury.
A good cause? You killed my mother. It was you all along. Dear spirits, to think that I... Oh, dear spirits, I slept with my mother's murderer, you filthy...
Jen, get a hold of yourself. It was necessary. He pointed at Richard. This is the cause of it all. We have him now. This was all necessary. Salvation only comes through selfless sacrifice. Your sacrifice, your mother's sacrifice, has captured us, Richard Rawl, the man who has hunted you your whole life.
Tears of rage poured down her face.
I can't believe you have done such things to me and claimed to love me.
But I do, Jen. I didn't know you then. I told you I never intended to fall in love with you, but I did. It just happened. You are my life now. I love you now.
She pressed her hands to the voice screaming in her head.
You are evil. I could never love you.
Brother Narev teaches that all of mankind is evil. We can have no moral existence because mankind is a taint on the world of life. At least Brother Narev is at last in a better place. He's with the Creator now.
You mean to say that even Brother Narev is evil then, because he is part of mankind? Even your precious sacred Brother Narev was evil?
Sebastian glared at her. The only one who is truly evil is standing right there, he pointed. Richard Rawl, for killing a great man. Richard Rawl must be put to death for his crimes.
If mankind is evil, and if Brother Narev is in a better place, with the Creator, then Richard has done a kindness by killing Brother Narev, by sending him into the Creator's arms, hasn't he? And if mankind is evil, then how could Richard Rawl be evil for killing men of the Order?
Sebastian's face had gone red. We are all evil, but some are more evil than others. At least we have the humility before the Creator to recognize our own wickedness and to glorify only the Creator. He paused and cooled visibly.
I know it's a sign of weakness, but I love you.
He gave her a smile.
You have become my only reason for being, Jen.
She could only stare at him.
You don't love me, Sebastian. You don't have any idea what love really is. You can't love anyone or anything until you love your own existence first.